Hello, my beautiful people. I hope you're having an absolutely amazing day. Having an absolutely amazing day. It's going to be a tongue-twisting podcast, it seems. But I'm currently sitting in Virginia in my little home office at 10 p.m. It's not shocking that I decided to work at 10 p.m. Today has been a very good day. It's one of the first snows that I've seen in about 6 years. I think. I can't remember the last time it snowed in Arkansas, honestly, or I'd give you a more accurate time, but I don't believe it snowed my senior year. So that being said, I haven't seen snow in quite a while. And I have enjoyed it. I have felt a lot of peace. I felt a lot of tranquility. I felt a lot of just like inner self recognition of the things that I'm doing great and the things I need to work on. I love the snow. I love the cold in general. I feel like December, like, yes, I fall into like a small seasonal depression, but I also feel like that's the time that I am like my best and most inner working self. I feel like that's the time where I'm like, okay, Josephine, you're great at this, this, and this, but you also suck at texting people back. You suck at answering emails and your time management is shit. And so I've done my best to get better at those things. And I know it's a work in progress. So it's kind of like I use winter to winter to see how I've been doing. And I have been kind of in a rut the past couple of winters because I felt like I haven't been increasing or doing any better in certain things. Like communication is something I've always struggled with. And I do blame that on whenever I was younger, communication of feelings and what you needed just weren't really like a thing in my house. And as I have gotten to where I'm around a very much so what I deem healed person, he's obviously not completely healed and he'll be the first one to say that. But we also like are both very vulnerable to one another and understanding of what the other one needs. And so like today him and I had a conversation and it was just like, it was talking about like certain like, you know, physical touches that mean the most to me, that are most intimate and meaningful to me. And how I mentioned to him, like, I need not necessarily more intimacy. I need intentionality. Like I want all of the touches to be very intentional. I want you to know what you're asking for. I want you to know that like if you come and, you know, hold me, like I'm going to hold on for a minute because I don't think you understand how badly I needed someone to hold me. And like he's an amazing guy. Don't get me wrong. We were sitting there talking today even so about like if him and I were to ever get divorced, I was like, I'm having a prenup and you ain't getting shit from me. You get enough to help take care of my kids and that's it. And he laughed and he goes, nah, I'm getting alimony. If you're over here making millions of dollars a year, I'm getting fucking alimony. And I was like, no, you're not. And like, it's you can also have like conversations about your future while also growing. So it's like, obviously neither of us want divorce, but I had mentioned in that conversation, no, there will be a prenup. And he's fully aware that there's going to be a prenup. I require a prenup. It does not matter. And like, I used to not be that girl that required a prenup, but I'm just like, no, if you want any part of my life to step into it, hell, friends are lucky. I don't have them sign a prenup. Like, no, ma'am. And you know, I was very much so a person, like, if you grew with me, a prenup isn't as likely. Like, if I was in the gutters whenever you met me, there's a very small chance that I'm going to be like, okay, well, you have to sign this prenup before we can move forward. Nah, I'm going to be like, nah, we're cool. Like, you wouldn't do that to me. But I've also learned that in the moments of you wouldn't do that to me, people do that to you. And it's upsetting and it's frustrating and it's bothersome, but you can't necessarily do anything about it. And I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about our love languages. And love languages, I've talked about them a few times on this podcast. I'm obsessed with love languages. I feel they're necessary, just like speaking any language. It's necessary for active communication in your relationship to know the person's way of receiving and giving love. And there's a very good chance that the love language you have is not going to be the love language that they receive well. It's not saying that like they're not going to receive it well. It's saying that they're not going to receive it best. I use the wrong word. So, like, for example, my love language is words of affirmation, gift giving, quality touch. I feel like those are my top three. And the thing is, there's only like, I think, 5 or 6, maybe there's 7, I can't remember. But there's not very many love languages. But I am a person that, like, I feel loved in multiple ways. And depending on how I'm feeling that day depends on what love language I need. I am someone who absolutely adores getting a note, getting flowers. I have a box full of notes sitting next to me. And it's just little things that people have written me. It's cards, it's sticky notes, it's, you know, like cards on flowers, just random things. But they mean the world to me. And like that box of notes would be something I go to grab at a fire kind of thing. Like, it's very, very important to me. Pumpkin, what are you doing? Lay down. But like the box of notes is very, very important to me. And so it's like something that I would require myself to grab on the way out if my house is burning down kind of thing. Like, and I'm very much a person, I'm not super sentimental in my opinion. I'm not like my grandmother, she keeps everything that anybody's ever touched. But I do feel like I'm sentimental about certain things, and it's like very specific things. Like, there's a stuffed animal that my brother got me for Christmas, and it sings this song that him and I were both, like, kids, and we'd sing all the time. And there are these two bears underneath my grandmother's Christmas tree, and if you turn them on, like, there was a boy and a girl, and they were brother and sister, and they sing this song. It was like, Mamacita, and then it was like, Donde está Santa? And it was like my favorite little song, and I still have no clue what it means because I don't speak Spanish, but it's a beautiful little song, and I was obsessed with it. I would click that bear over and over again, and Terrence, whenever my fingers would start to hurt, Terrence would click the button over and over again, or we'd work together and we'd try and turn them on at the same time because their voices were a little different, so they sang the same. And it was like, it was just like such a core memory for me. I don't know if he remembers it that much, and he must, because he did buy me something that sang the song, and he was looking for the bears, and because I love those bears, they're just so cute, and it's just like, it's such a precious memory to me. But all he could find was a toucan, and so it was this toucan that had on a Santa Claus hat that sang that song, and it was the funniest thing. And like, that's something I'm sentimental about. And then it's like my box of notes, or like I have pictures that I refuse to delete. Like, there's some things that I'm just sentimental about. And mind you, I have maybe one picture of my graduation. I was so not excited to graduate. I didn't want to graduate. I didn't want to be there. I was honestly not looking forward to it. I just wanted to go to work. I remember my boyfriend at the time. He was so excited to graduate. Like, I remember him being really excited, and like his friends came down. And I think I was upset because I didn't feel seen. And I think that's also why my love languages are the ones that I feel most seen. Like, quality time, I do enjoy, but I feel like I get quality time just when you're around me, because I make all of my time a, like, purposeful. Like, it's not like we're sitting there and it's like we don't go out to dinner or something like that. And so I don't feel like it's something that I'm big on. And then I think there's one other love language, but I can't remember. Acts of service. I could give a shit less if you go and get something for me. Like, yeah, it's nice and I appreciate it. And if I ask you to do it, it's going to mean a lot that you see me and you want to go do that for me. But it's not like a major ordeal to me. But I have noticed that quality touch and words of affirmation are probably my biggest ones. If you sit there and you tell me that you're proud of me, that you love me, that you care about me, that you're happy with me, if you sit there and say all these things, like, that's how I'm so easily manipulated when it comes to love, because all you have to do is say something. You don't have to give me a single thing in the world. I could sit there and want for things for the rest of my life and not get anything from you, and I'll still be happy because you told me you love me. You told me you care about me. You told me I mean the world to you. And that's literally all that matters to me. That's all I care about. And I had told my friend this, and I was just like, you know, I really do feel like, you know, words of affirmation is my first love language, but quality touch, or not quality touch, physical touch is probably my second. And I'm not really a super touchy person, but with that person, I'm touchy. And I've even noticed in like my relationship with my dog, or my relationship with my mom. Like, I do enjoy, like, whenever I'm not feeling well, I want to hold her hand. I want to cuddle up against my mom. Or whenever I am, like, having a mental breakdown, I enjoy holding my dog. Like, I need something to feel like I'm relieving some sort of anxiety. And touch is a really good way for me to do that. But I feel like it's definitely sitting on even ground with gifts. And it's like, the thing is, I only reason that I feel like touch might be up just a little bit is because I love kisses. I love getting kisses on my cheeks, on my head, on my lips. I love getting kisses. And so that's like, it's a way to just shower me with love, is just like a whole bunch of kisses. Like, I'm obsessed with it. And if it's a kiss that, like, you, I can feel it in your soul that you mean that kiss, the way I'm like melting, I'm melting. And so I feel like it's still just like the intentionality, and it's the same. And I feel like the thing is, with all of my love languages, they're all very intentional. You're telling me, you're doing something with me, you're doing something for me, you're buying me something. Like, you did something and you said, I'm thinking about you, or I care for you so deeply, or I love you so much, or I'm so proud of you. Like, you're saying all of these things in the things that you do for me. And the words of affirmation has always been a big one for me. Quality touch has been a recent understanding, and I feel like it's because I'm with people that make me feel so safe to expose that part of me, that of course I want quality touch. Like, of course I want physical touch. Of course I want you all over me. Like, I just want you to hug me and hold me and care for me. And I want you to want to cuddle with me in the booth that we're in. And I want you to, you know, be excited to hold my hand. And I want you to kiss me in public. And I want you to just want to show me off. And then I have, like, gifts. And I feel like most of that is flowers and letters. And letters goes back to words of affirmation. And flowers is purely, I just fucking love flowers. I love flowers. And they make me so happy inside. And the reason this podcast is called Healing Yourself in Your Love Language, and the reason I sat here for 10 minutes and talked about all my love languages, are because you have to love yourself in your love language to feel the self-love that you're trying to give. If I were to love myself in quality time, how would that make any sense for me? Yes, I like to recharge my social battery, but if quality time is not something that I enjoy, like, not necessarily something I don't enjoy, something that doesn't immediately fuel my love language, then how am I taking care of myself? And it's like, what was the last one? Acts of service. My house is the messiest house that you'll probably ever step into that is a single woman. I keep a messy house. And it's terrible, but I don't know how to keep a clean one. My mom has tried to get me to keep a clean one my entire life. I've never done it. I've never been able to do it. And it's, I don't know what it is. I honestly can't explain it. And so in turn, I don't ever have. And that's like an act of service, I feel, is like taking care of yourself, taking this out, doing this, cleaning your kitchen. Like, I have to clean my entire house tomorrow evening because I have furniture delivering on Wednesday. But whenever I'm like sitting there and thinking about it, that's the last thing I want to do, because I don't feel like that's taking care of myself. What I do feel like is taking care of myself is writing future letters to myself, is making to-do lists, is like using words to explain my feelings. That's why I'm here talking to you guys. That's why I brag on myself from time to time. That's why I tell myself, yeah, you're doing a really good fucking job. Yeah, you're really sucking in like three or four things. But with all the shit you have on your plate, you're allowed to suck a little bit. I used to have affirmations on my mirror. I didn't do affirmations in the morning. Like, I've never been able to like stick to that routine. But I used to write affirmations on my mirror every single day whenever I was having a really bad like couple of weeks of just like hating myself. And not even hating who I saw in the mirror, but like I was just not enjoying me as a person. And it was typically whenever my hormones were fucked up because I was on a new birth control, or I was doing this, or I was doing that. Like, there was always something that had changed in my environment that made me feel so intensely, like, such intense hatred towards myself. And it wasn't what I would call hatred. It was just, I was bothered. I was annoyed. Didn't understand why I couldn't get my shit together, you know? And so whenever I'd get frustrated with myself, I forced myself to write affirmations, all good things about myself, on my mirror. and I have to wake up and I have to see it while I'm brushing my teeth, while I'm putting on my makeup, while I'm doing my hair, while I'm picking out an outfit. And the thing is, I used to have three mirrors in my house. I had one at the front door, I had one in my bathroom, and I had one in my bedroom. And on each of those mirrors, I would have something written on them. On every single one of them. And that is how I combated and learned to love myself and heal myself in my best way of understanding love. So yes, some people might see it as delusional. I see it as healing myself. I see it as taking care of myself. I also buy myself presents from time to time. I also buy myself flowers from a supermarket when I have the extra cash because it makes me feel better. I will make sure that if I do need some quality time and I know I need some quality time with myself, that I do some meditation and I read some of my book. I know when I need to take care of myself, and now that I've healed a little bit, I know the best way to take care of myself. And sometimes that is holding myself and crying. Sometimes that's writing affirmations on a mirror. Sometimes that is buying myself supermarket flowers or a new bracelet or a necklace or a new piece of technology. Whenever I am not feeling well mentally, you know, because I just went and bought something really fucking expensive. And it's typically technology. It's typically a computer, an iPad, or a new piece to go with something of my technology, like a hard drive or a case or something like you could tell that it wasn't necessarily practically chosen. It was an impulse buy. And I used to really struggle with impulse shopping. Like, I will never forget, Kai and I had broke up, and it was the breakup that we had in May. He was about to go to Europe. And we had gotten in this massive fight. I was so upset. We broke up, and I called him two or three times throughout that next week, screaming at him, because I was like, why are you not upset? Why are you not mad? Why are you out doing things? And he said, I'm doing the best I can. And he's like, I do miss you. I do absolutely crave you still. And I will never forget that phone call, because it was one that kind of knocked me into my place of like, girl, he's hurting too. Like, you're not the only one hurting right now. And so to avoid calling him on that following Saturday, I went and I shopped and I shopped and I shopped and I shopped. I spent $3,000. On clothes. A lot of them don't fit me anymore. I don't even know if all of them made it to California with me. And I was disgusted with myself whenever I did it, because I needed that money. I had just paid off that card with tax money. Like, I had gotten a bonus and I chose to just throw it. And I was so upset. And I regretted every purchase I made. And I went and I got a massage. I did what I thought I needed to do to take care of myself, which proved that I didn't take care of myself at all. And it's kind of like being in a toxic relationship and not really having anything to bring to it. You had nothing to fix it. You had nothing to like handle your emotions. So you'd fall into toxic habits. And my toxic habit has always been impulse shopping. And I used to do retail therapy with my mom from time to time, because the South does not believe in therapy. And Arkansas doesn't shy away from it. They are through and through, do not believe in it. And not to mention, I was in Arkansas and I was in a very heavily religious family. Like, there's a lot of things that Logan and I do kind of mesh on, and like, if you weren't aware, Logan is African American, and him and I don't have the same struggles. Obviously, we don't have anything even remotely similar in regards to the depth of struggle that he faces every day in comparison to me. But something that I do bond with him on is the fact that therapy is not something that is looked highly upon in my very Catholic, very religious, and very Southern family. And they're very much like the rub some dirt in it kind of family. And I always thought that was cute and charming of us until I realized it wasn't. And it was just years and years of trauma built up, generational trauma built up. And it bothered me after that. I was upset and I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't know what to do. And I remember being upset because I wanted to go to therapy after one of my breakups. And my mom said, well, I don't think it's bad enough for that. And it's like, that was like an everyday, it seemed like. That's what it felt like. And whenever I've talked about going to therapy, there's always been something holding me back. And it's, I do believe the banging into you as a child that therapy is for wimps, therapy is for people that aren't strong, therapy is for people that are weak. And I've never seen myself as a weak person. I've never seen myself as someone who needs help. And so I learned that as I'm struggling to get myself into a therapist's office, I also want to be taking care of myself in the best way that I can take care of myself. And it seems so silly because you're like, Josephine, just walk through the doors. And it's literally so much harder than that. There's now a mental block of how the fuck am I going to sit there for hours on end telling this person how I feel and they know nothing about me. They don't know anything about me besides what I'm telling them. What if I'm the problem? What if I'm the one that goes in and I tell them all the things that I know they want to hear? At the end of the day, I'm a marketing genius. I'm a master manipulator. That is what I do day in and day out, is manipulate people. So what if I do the same thing to them? But I'm technically giving myself the shaft because they can't help me. They can't help me if I'm not completely vulnerable. And I don't know if I'm ready to be completely vulnerable. It actually makes my skin crawl a little bit that I have to tell this person, not necessarily my deepest, darkest secrets, but I have to tell them what makes my heart hurt and what makes it feel better. I have to tell them all these things. I have to tell them all the trauma I went to. I have to tell them about the abusive relationship. I have to tell them about the relationships afterwards that weren't toxic but weren't good. I have to tell them all the places that I went wrong. I'm not a person that likes to admit that I'm wrong. And that's not shocking. I mean, at the end of the day, a person that is words of affirmation and all they want to hear is that somebody's proud of them, the last thing they want to do is give them any ammunition to prove that they are not, to prove that they have no reason to be proud of you. And I feel like that's where like understanding your love language is so necessary, because you know how to make yourself happy, but you also know how to hurt yourself. So whenever I see myself now stepping into these toxic behaviors of talking poorly about myself or making something a little bit too much about me or something like that, I immediately pull back. I'm self-aware. I'm observant of what I am now doing to other people because I'm aware of my nasty habits. And they might not seem like a big deal to a lot, but they're a big deal to me. And although I'm unable to walk through doors and tell somebody exactly how I feel right now, I am able to self-medicate outside of swiping a credit card. I refuse to swipe a credit card. This month, I have bought very few things that are not for my house. Like, I have not bought a new piece of clothing since December. I have not, and like December I was catching after Christmas sales, so it wasn't even that big of a deal. But I know how I can easily blow a grand. I am that girl that if you send me out with $1 million and say I don't want any of it when you get back home, that's literally not a problem. That's not a problem. I will buy half of the Hermes store. I'll buy, you know, a quarter of the Dior store. I'll go and buy some stuff at Tiffany. I'll go buy some stuff at some shitty boutiques. I'll go buy stuff that I have no use for. And knowing that that is a bad habit of mine, whenever I feel really self-destructive, I hide my credit cards. I don't have anything on Apple Pay besides my debit card now and my Apple Pay. I don't have my mom's credit card on any of those things. I don't have any like eating apps. None of those are on my phone anymore except Uber Eats. And I only have one card connected to that and my Apple Pay. And like, it's just like I had to get very strategic with how to break these habits. And I feel like loving yourself in your love language is how you heal yourself, yes, but you also have to be aware of these destructive habits that you have that keep you from healing yourself so you can stay on top of it. It's an active thing to be healthy, mentally, physically, everything. You have to be consistent with your discipline. And I don't feel like I frivolously spend as frequently anymore. I have the urge to want to go shopping. I have the urge to do all the things. Like, the other day, I had gotten some bad news on Saturday, and the first thing I wanted to do was go to Starbucks. And so I went to Starbucks. I satisfied the craving of spending money, but I only spent $7. And then on the way back, I was like, you know, I really want to go to Hobby Lobby or Home Goods or something like that and just make my home feel homier. Like, I want something like that. And my friend was on the phone, and she's like, if that's what you feel like you need to do, then do that. And I was like, no, I don't need to do that. And she's like, okay, then don't do that. And, like, she was very supportive. And I don't think she even knows that I necessarily struggle with this actively, but she was very supportive about it. And I remember just being like, I don't need to spend more money. I need to go home. I need to save money. And I need to settle myself. I need to take a nap. I need to calm my nervous system. I need to do something. And she's like, okay, well, then do that. And so I came home. I got my drink. I sat down at my computer, and I worked a majority of the day. And that made me feel better. It made me feel better to throw myself into my work because I felt shitty. And people also will give you shit about that and say, you shouldn't do that. That's just terrible for yourself. No, I felt more satisfied with the fact that I made money that day and didn't lose it. And I feel like that was something that helped me not spend as well, was I was like, well, why don't we just go make $200 rather than spending $200? Why don't we go make $1,000 rather than spending $1,000? I'll feel so much better if I do that, right? And that's exactly what I did. And it helped me so much kind of fall out of, oh my God, I have to go spend money. Nobody wants to spend money. Nobody is actively trying to find ways to spend money unless you're maybe 16 and don't really fill your bank account up. I'm saying that in healing yourself, you have to heal yourself correctly with the way that you understand love best. And if you understand love in quality touch, or not quality, why do I keep saying that? Maybe I've just got intentional touch stuck in my head, but with, you know, like physical touch, quality time, whatever it may be, you have to love yourself in that way for your body and your mind to perceive it correctly. If you don't have that, then you're unable to really feel correctly. Like you're, and I don't want to say correctly as in your feelings are wrong, but your feelings are wrong because you're sitting there and you're feeling like you need to go spend thousands of dollars. No, you just need to read a book and spend some time with yourself and just breathe. No, I need to go and I need to eat three meals in one sitting. No, you probably just need to like go on a mindful walk and maybe like talk to yourself nicely. Listen to some podcasts. Listen to something that will make you feel better. Take a breather. No, I need to, you know, work my ass off for 12 hours straight today. No, maybe, just maybe, we need to go buy ourselves some flowers and set them up nicely in an arrangement that makes us feel good. And then we can come back. We can come back to this. And I feel like that's what's necessary, is knowing alternates to making you feel like that high would make you feel. If you think about it, there's certain things in our life that are a drug, they're addicting. And, you know, binge eating is one of them. And you have, you know, shopping, that's one of them. And you have, you know, actually getting high, that's one of them. And it's like all of these things actually push you into bad habits. And it's not necessarily from a lack of you trying. You're trying to love yourself. You just might not know the best way to do that. And the best way to do that is knowing your love language and loving yourself through your love language. And it's hard, I know, to do words of affirmation. Write letters to yourself. Write affirmations on your mirror. Speak to yourself. Talk to yourself. Start a blog. Start a podcast. Start something that makes you talk to yourself. People always give me shit because I talk so much. I get so much lashback because of how frequently I speak. And like my boyfriend and I, we joke about it all the time because I will literally talk your ear off. That's why I make 30-minute podcasts. And I will sit there and I will talk and I will talk and I will talk. And it doesn't bother him. But he just laughs because he's like, I could tell that nobody listened to you. You didn't have somebody that just sat there and listened to you. because he'll sit there and he'll like listen to me while I'm talking, then I'll be like, are you gonna say something? And he's like, no, because I'm listening to you. And I just kind of sat there the first time that it happened, and I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I'm gonna just listen to you. I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna listen to you. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was like, you could tell that like a small part of my inner child was like, aw. And just like my shoulders relaxed, you know? And like, it's important that you're not the only person loving yourself in your love language. My friends and I love each other in our love languages all the time. And like one of my friends, we're both very words of affirmation people. I talk to her all the time. She sits there and she tells me about how shitty her day is at work, and I tell her that she's doing a great job and that she doesn't deserve to be treated that way, or that she's really doing her best and people need to understand that. And she also has to express that. Like, we'll sit there and we'll have those powwows because it makes us feel better. And then there was like the whole weekend I was on the phone with her, like just chatting it up. And like one of her love languages is gift giving. I'm gonna give her a gift for her birthday and for Christmas. I send her little notes and all these little things sometimes just to make her feel better. Or, you know, I get DoorDash, or I get, you know, like, I'll never forget, I gave her flowers for graduation. I gave her tulips specifically because I read that they were for good fortune. And I went and I arranged them in a vase that I had gotten. I believe Logan actually gave it to me. And I gave it to her on graduation. No, Logan didn't give it to me. Where did I get that vase from? Because I didn't know Logan yet. I don't know where I got that vase from. Or maybe I did know where I got that vase. I don't know where I got that vase from. Maybe I did know Logan then. When did she graduate? She graduated in the summertime because I was in shorts or a skirt. I was for sure in something like... She graduated in the summertime. And... Maybe I didn't know Logan then. Maybe it was his face of flower. Maybe it was his base. But neither here nor there, I took her tulips. And I'll never forget, like, it was a very awkward altercation or interaction because her and I still were not super friendly yet from our friend breakup that we had. But we were still talking. We were still communicating and chatting it up every now and then. And about 2 weeks later, maybe it was a week later, she hit me up and she's like, hey, do you want to come to the hot tub and just like chill out with me and maybe smoke? And I was like, yeah, I do. And I went over there, laptop in hand, not shocking, Logan on the phone, and I was so excited to spend some time with her. And I feel like she knew the best way to love me, and the fact that I appreciate when someone asks me if I want to talk, if I want to chat, if I want to, you know, just sit on the phone and chatter. Sometimes I have nothing important to say. I just want to feel heard. I just want to feel understood. And I feel like that's what a lot of people, whenever they do have like the love language that is words of affirmation, they just want to feel seen. They felt so overlooked a majority of their life that they just want to feel seen. And I say that as someone who is obviously a words of affirmation person, but also all of that being said, it helps knowing people in their background. Like, I know why my boyfriend doesn't really love physical touch. He does enjoy it. That's one of his favorite love languages. But it's not, like, his only language that I understand he receives well. He also doesn't care for gifts. That's not his thing. He feels bad whenever anybody tries to buy him anything. And any time that I've tried, it's been a fight. And what's funny is he actually mentioned the other day at a restaurant, he's like, you don't even fight for the check. Like, you just know I'm going to pay for it. And I'm like, anytime I have fought for the check, you scream at me. And he's like, yeah, and all you got in that purse is lip gloss. And I'm like, no, I got my wallet today, but none of these cards are going to go through. Like, it was a funny conversation because it was hilariously true. But it was also something that I made a point to be like, I would do it, but I also don't want to offend you when I do it. And I feel like that's the biggest kicker in a lot of relationships, is knowing a love language is important because you know how to offend someone and you know how to not. You understand their psychology a little bit, and it's just really important to know the love language of the people around you, including yourself. You have to know the best way to talk to yourself, you have to know the best way to love yourself, and you have to know the best way to love the people around you that you want to love. You also have to know that sometimes you don't have enough love to give to the 12 friends that you have. That's why we have best friends. That's why we have friends. That's why we have acquaintances. That's why we have peers or coworkers or whatever. I don't call everybody a friend. I've got maybe 5 friends. I've got 2 best friends, and I've got a boyfriend. And I've got 2 not biological sisters. Like, it's very hard for me to put people in categories, but it's necessary when it comes to friends, because I hate to be that person, but you do have to divide up the love that you give. That's why a lot of people don't end up being with their friends forever, because they have kids and they have dogs and they have things they have to take care of, and you cannot spread the love everywhere. There's not enough of you. If there's 100 hearts to give and you give 50 to your kid, 20 to your dog, 40 to your partner, you're 110 hearts. You're already in debt. Who didn't get enough love today? And I feel like that's necessary to understand your love language, so you're making sure you're giving yourself enough hearts that day. And like, they have the spoon theory, and I'm going to end on this. The spoon theory is you get a certain amount of spoons every day. Waking up is 2 spoons. Brushing your teeth is a spoon. Putting on moisturizer is a spoon. Every step in your makeup routine is 1/2 a spoon. Filling up your water is a spoon. Getting to work is 3 spoons. Getting through the workday is 15 spoons. If you only have 20 spoons that day, you are not going to be able to do something. You have to give a spoon to be able to do the task. And I feel like that's the best way to explain, like, you can't pour from an empty cup. Because people will expect you to be in spoon debt. They'll expect you to be like, nah, I won't have, like, I'll only put, give me 1 spoon today and you can have the other 6. People will expect you to do that, especially if you're a giving person by nature. You don't have to do that. You shouldn't do that. Take care of yourself, please. Give yourself enough spoons. Give yourself enough hearts. But make sure whenever you're giving yourself those hearts, it's in a language that you're going to receive best, so you can use as few hearts as possible. We're talking efficiency here. And if I know that I accept love best in words of affirmation, that I'm going to make sure that in my 3 spoons that I've allotted for myself, all of those are words of affirmation. Or if I need a little bit of quality time with myself, 1 of those spoons is reading a book and 2 of those spoons is words of affirmation. I'm going to make sure that the amount of love I'm giving myself is enough, but the only way to make sure it is enough is to have it in my love language. I'm going to end on that. I love you. I hope you have a great day, week, whatever it may be. And I will chat with you later. I'm literally so happy to be here.